You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Ooh, man, you can feel it out there too, can't you? Thanks for being here, everybody. I ran this poll at the last two services, too. How many of you lived in a place where there was snow regularly? Show of hands. Yeah, okay, all right, the diehard crew, love it. Hopefully, all was well on the way here. We're praying all goes well on the way home. I don't know about you, but whoever is praying for snow because they love winter, y'all can stop, okay? I'm just saying, I'm like... Okay, we'll just move right on. You have heard about the year of my storm, a storm in my life that came a few years back, how it started with some chest pains, and then it was anxiety and doctors and counselors and tests and all of those things along the way. Man, there were a lot of questions, and we've been talking about storms, and storms, we've said, are seasons in our lives where life seems out of our control. I imagine if you look back at your life, you'll find at least one season, maybe there are multiple seasons where you've had some storms in your life. And the mistake that we might make is thinking that every day is just a bad day. Well, that's not true. Even in the season of a storm, you're going to find some really great days too. And I think about in my storm, there were some great days spent on the golf course with my kids or our kids, great days hanging out with my buddies playing golf or some tournaments or that kind of thing. I think we all need that place, you know, that place of R&R, that place where we can get away and just hang out and unplug from the world. And I know even now, if I have a rough day, first place I'm going before I ever head home is the practice range. And I get it all out there, and I'll just call Mandy and say, hey, I'm going to stop on the way home. And she says, please do. Please do. And I don't know, there's something about that. I imagine you've got that place for your life too, where you can unplug, you can recharge, you can get things out. And golf has always been it for me, admittedly, you know, from the time I was just a little guy. The hard thing is that if you press that too far, it becomes a place of escape. And that's different. Realize we all need R&R, we need vacations, we need breaks, we need boundaries, those kinds of things, but escape is something entirely different. There's a funny thing about escaping storms. You can for a bit, but at some point you'll find yourself right back in the middle of it. And this is what we do in life. We try to escape, right? We take the life-changing vacation. We find the limit on our credit card. We drink our way to the end of a bottle. We scroll our way to the end of the internet. And it's all the same. It's an escape. But at some point, as much as you try to escape, I guarantee you, you will find yourself right back in the middle of the storm. Remember that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And immediately, we're told, after they think he's a ghost, he says, take heart. It's me. It's I. I am. Do not be afraid. And so far, we've talked about we need community. Those 12 guys all had one another in the boat. When Jesus comes to us walking on the water, we realize that God will, because God already has intervened in our lives. How do we know that? We know that from looking at the cross. God will intervene because he already has. He died on a cross. He rose again on the third day. And that's what overcomes our sin. It overcomes our fears. I mean, so he will because he already has, and that brings us great clarity. This storm, one way or the other, is going to come to an end. This is not eternal, guaranteed, promise you. And when you stop trying to escape the storm after that kind of clarity, you're going to realize something incredibly powerful. God's not outside of the storm, he's in the middle of it. You keep trying to escape, and God wants to use this storm in your life to do something new. So let's read the scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 14 together. When we read scripture, we do a little bit of chutzpah. Are you ready? Even on a snowy day? Here we go. Let's read together. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Well, there's something that you should know about the sea in the ancient world. It was thought to be a place of chaos. In fact, the minute that you get in the boat and enter into the waters, you're sort of on your own. There's sort of this boundary line of, are the gods of the ancient world really able to save you from the chaos of the sea? Probably not. Good luck. And it was a place of all kinds of evil spirits and ghosts and so on and so forth. So not really surprising that the disciples would have thought when Jesus came to them on the water that it was a ghost, because of course that's exactly what happens in the middle of the sea. Now we might think today, well, that sounds crazy. I mean, you go out in the middle of the sea, good luck, you're on your own. But actually you undertake this enterprise every day. You take a key, put it in the ignition, turn it on, and then you head out into the sea of chaos, yes? Good luck. Now, there's something amazing that happens, though. Notice in the scriptures say they think they see a ghost, which would make sense because they're on the sea. Jesus speaks to them, and there's something about Jesus speaking to them that all of a sudden brings Peter alive. They realize that this isn't a ghost. This isn't some kind of phantasm, the word says. This is the great I am. And notice what Peter says. Peter answers him, "Lord, if it is you," what does he say? "Command me. Command me to come to you on the water, because I believe you are I am. I believe you created the sea. I believe that you have power over the sea. I believe that there is no chaos when you are near." Noah wanted to jump in the boat. Peter's ready to jump out of the boat. "Command me," he says. I love this. "Command me. I believe." And what does Jesus say? "Come." Now, I wish you were, well, the Greek word, it doesn't exist. It's like one of the most common words ever. "Come. Let's go." And Peter gets out of the boat. One of the best moments in human history right here. Because for the first time since the Garden of Eden, people believe God for who he really is. "You're I am? Command me. Come." So Peter gets out of the boat. He lost sight of everything but Jesus. Jesus was bigger than a storm. Jesus was bigger than his problems. Jesus was bigger than fighting this thing all night long from 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. "Command me." And then he sinks. You go, well, there it is. Duh. I mean, you can't break the laws of physics. We've been telling you for 6 years now that God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anyone in any way that he wants. And then usually it goes like this. I say, "Do you believe this?" And you say, "Yes." And then I say, "Are you living like it?" And you go, "About like that." And some of you all have said, "Well, now, Brian, it's logically impossible that God could do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anyone, any way that he wants, because he could make a rock too big that he can't lift." Of course I understand that. There's some limitation, right, because there's free will, and that's a real bummer, and okay, I get that. The problem is we really don't believe it. When Peter starts to sink, we go, okay, well, of course, there's the punchline. You know, you can't defy the laws of physics. Well, God created the laws of physics. It stands to reason he could defy the laws of physics, but that's a teaching for another day. I mean, we're almost looking for him to fail. It's funny how we do that, isn't it? Kind of like the Chiefs. I want them to lose so bad this year. Are you with me? sorry to our friends who don't, and if I've hurt you, I'll ask for your forgiveness and repent. But this is funny how we do this as a culture, isn't it? It's like we want to see people get built up and built up and built up, and then we want to see them fail. What is that about us that we do such a thing? And this is sort of how we function. You know, we ride along in this boat that we perceive as really, really safe. So we get in the boat and everything. And so we've got these safety mechanisms. We've got a 401k. We've got a bank account. We got, you know, people around us. We take all kinds of vitamins. I mean, whatever your thing is that helps you feel safe, go to your dentist. You got to do that. Go see her at least every six months. I'm in trouble with mine, I think. And then we have these moments where we see God and we say, command me. I'm in. So we go like this. We stand up and then we sit down. And we do it again. Looks really good. Now's not a good time. And then we get really dangerous. And it's almost like we get halfway out of the boat. And we dip a toe. Can we do it again? Heard even worse at 11 doing that than I did at 9:30. But this is what we do. We get up and we get down. We get up and down, up and down. And we're kind of looking to fail. Just like we want to see other people fail. Well, I don't really want to see anybody but fail. You want to see your arch nemesis beat you in whatever sport it is? It's almost like we wait to fail. From great faith to what we perceive as great failure in the scripture, right? Because Peter gets up and he steps out of the boat and he starts to go to Jesus on the water. And then the scriptures say that he sinks. And we go, well, duh. Nobody walks on water, Peter. Jesus is just too hard to follow. It's too uncomfortable. It's too hard. I don't know if I can do it. So we stand up and we sit down. We stand up and we sit down. And people, they get so scared that they're going to drown, that they stay stuck. And we judge the whole thing as an abysmal failure because, after all, Peter sank. I mean, look at what the scriptures say. He saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He failed. That's what we judge the outcome. I think we've completely misread the story. Peter didn't fail. See, the purpose, let me rephrase that. The outcome wasn't that he sank. The outcome was that he got out of the boat. We only look at it as a failure because Peter sank. Peter got out of the boat. We've completely misjudged the thing. What if sinking were actually a great thing? And you're thinking, that's the dumbest thing you've said yet, Brian. See, Peter failed, right? He took his eyes off of Jesus, but he got out of the boat. He sank. Yeah, okay, but he got out of the boat. Nobody else got out of the boat. Can you imagine how that went? The 11 other guys sitting there. You know they're doing that, right, guys? Because that's what we do. Watch this. Everybody gets out their iPhone. Peter's the only one who got out of the boat. That's the win. Of course he was going to sink. Of course he was going to take his eyes off of Jesus. Look at the wind and the waves and the rain and everything else around. But he got out of the boat. I mean, Peter's my favorite. I will totally confess it before you, and he gets painted as reckless and erratic, but wow, to be like that. Jesus, command me, And then he gets out of the boat and he does it. And in a world where everybody just wants to overanalyze everything to death before we ever take a leap of faith, oh man, to be like Peter, let's go. It's weird what we do. We give our kids participation trophies on the one hand because they showed up, and then we just give them hell because they got nothing but all A's. That's unacceptable. How do these two things fit together? You're going to fail. Failure's part of it. Sinking is part of the story. And the failure is precipitated by great faith. And in any storm, you're going to take two steps forward and one back. You're going to take one step forward and then you're going to come two back. But look at what the step brought. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Realize that was the first time in the entire adventure anybody ever cried out to God and said, "Save me. I can't do this on my own." That's the win. That's what getting out of the boat does. Now all of a sudden it's not dependent upon you or your safety or your wisdom or your power or your strength. And the beautiful thing is Jesus immediately, he didn't go, "Let's see how long this lasts." He immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He didn't call him no faith. He said, "Little faith." There's a scripture Jesus shares, right? He says, if you had just a little bit of faith, like the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, "Be tossed into the heart of the sea," and it would. See, Peter lived it because he got out of the boat. The faith of a mustard seed cries out to God and says, "Save me." And in a storm, here's the deal. You're going to look for every human escape that you possibly can. Whether it's boats or bottles or golf courses or whatever it will, or whatever it could be. You're going to look for every human invention you can to escape the storm that you're in. And the beautiful part is at some point, Jesus is going to show up to you and he is going to cry out your name and say, "Come on, let's go." And when you get out of the boat, let me help you. You'll take a few steps. You might sink. And what a glorious sinking it will be, because you're going to fail and then you're going to grow. And others are going to tell you can't get out of the boat. It's impossible. It doesn't exist. And what God is saying is here, ultimately, you can't leave the storm until I have the third thing from you. You need a community around you. You need clarity that he will, because he already has worked. And the third need is the need to commit. He wants a commitment. "I'm in. Command me. Come. Get out of the boat." That's the win. Commitment's hard though, isn't it? Commitment's hard. That's the last thing we want to do as human beings. That's why nobody likes to make plans anymore. Because you're committed then. Oh. Might get a better opportunity. Might have a better offer. Commitment's hard. Because now all of a sudden you're locked into something. Now all of a sudden you've made a choice. Now all of a sudden you got to choose to get out of the boat. And that's scary. Commitment, it doesn't guarantee your storm's going to end quickly. You're not going to have setbacks. You won't fail. You won't be scared. But I can promise you this. If you'll commit, you will know Jesus. You will be touched by the power and presence of God. It happened when Peter got out of the boat. And I can tell you this because I know it personally. It's what happened to me. We got to a point in the storm of that year, and I finally just said, "Jesus, whatever you want, I'm in. You want me to leave ministry? I'm in. You want me to do something different? I'm in. You want me to move places? I'm in. You want me to change something? I'm in. You want me to take these dumb pills for the rest of my life? I'm in. They're for my stomach. Better clarify that. I'm in. Whatever it is, I'm all in. Let's go. Command me. I'm in. I had to wait 2 years. And then y'all got stuck with me. And here's what I believe was so important about that season in my life and for my life. Had I not gone through that series of storms, I couldn't have been part of this family to go through its season of storms. So thanks for letting me be stuck with you. Let's pray. Almighty God, Miss Cheryl already sang it. Tried to put some words around it. Scripture offers us the truth of it. The wind's getting out of the boat. And what you seek from each of us is the simple commitment. Hey, Lord, command me. And when we hear your voice, we get out of the boat and step into whatever you have for us. Lord, whatever our storm might be today, whether it's faith or fear or health or stuff that's going on at home, whether it's addiction, whether it's our job, our marriage, whatever it might be, God, we pray that we would hear your voice and that you would strengthen us to take that first step of commitment. Lord, we know that when you have our heart, anything is possible, because you are the God who can do all things. So, Lord, our prayer today is that you would give us the faith of a mustard seed to live into what you have next for us. Thank you that you died on a cross and you rose again on the third day to set us free from sin and death and fear and even the struggle of our failures. Be Lord and leader in our lives.